Tom Cazzola joins us. Now, Tom, Oilers, another really good start last night. Let's start there against Toronto. To me, that's four consecutive games where the Oilers have come out ready to play.
Oh, and what a difference it makes, Greg. And we know what the first goal of a game generally does around the National Hockey League. And when you jump out to that the lead, and the Oilers get it 7 minutes in or just under 8 minutes into the first period. And in what really was a rock-solid road period for the Oilers, and it looked like a continuation of the entire game that we saw Saturday afternoon in Boston, which was probably by far Edmonton's best road game of the year against one of the league's best teams. And then they go into Toronto last night and the Red Hot Leafs, 9-0-1 in their previous 10. And the Oilers keep that train going with the strong, smart, systematic play, simple stuff, getting it deep, chasing it. We saw, you know, who's been really good at that is Kyle Yamamoto. We've talked about that. And it led to another rock-solid start. Of course, the second period was we saw an opening goal in the first minute, and we also saw a really late goal in that period, in a period that we saw six goals. And we talked about it on the pregame show, how those early goals and those late goals can be a menace or they can be a godsend, depending on which team and what end of the spectrum you're on in that particular game. But that was an excellent start that really paved the way for a crazy finish. But if you're the Oilers, you got to be happy with the way you're playing. And I didn't see this coming, Greg. I'm not going to lie to you. I thought when they lost that game in OT to Buffalo, I thought Boston and Toronto were going to be pretty rough games for the Oilers. And they have been a pleasant surprise in the sauce, too.
Well, they've continued to be very competitive against top 10 teams in the NHL. And the Oilers, as of right now, sit 12th in the standings. Of course, they've got a few games in hand, so we'll see what happens. They are 1 point up on Vancouver. The Canucks, though, have a few games in hand. They are playing in Tampa Bay tonight. Only the second time in NHL history that two teams on seven-game winning streaks will face off against each other in a game. So that's kind of an odd little stat tonight for the Canucks taking on Tampa Bay. There's no score. That game just started about 5 minutes ago. The two lines, McDavid and Draisaitl. Draisaitl dominates in Boston. McDavid dominates in Toronto. That's huge news for this team, especially because their other depth guys are chipping in big time with goals.
Yeah, finally. And I mean, I wondered this in my own head, and then I asked it out loud on the post-game show. And, you know, is it too soon to get excited about Kyle Yamamoto and what he's brought in terms of balancing out that top six? Because all of a sudden, it looks like the Oilers in these last four games have a legit second line. And I know Draisaitl still picked up a couple points last night, despite McDavid's brilliance, which was absolutely phenomenal. I mean, that goal was crazy, but that line with Ryan Nugent-Hopkins on the left side, Yamamoto on the right side, and Draisaitl down the middle, like, I'm looking at that and I'm going, maybe, just maybe, this is the solution. But at the same time, there's a part of my brain playing devil's advocate saying, is Yamamoto showing true growth here, or is this a guy who's been in the league before the last couple of years and has had some time to simmer in the minors this year and has played well, by all accounts, from Jay Woodcroft and from what we've heard from everyone down in Bakersfield? Is he someone that could come in and sustain this type of play that we've seen in these four games where he's, you know, managed to tally a couple goals and an assist? So that's my big question in regard to this second line, but it's pretty promising. And you would think that Yamamoto, having, you know, dealt with him for the last couple of years and listening to him and seeing his tenacity on the ice, that you want to give him the benefit of the doubt that he will be able to be a fighter and to continue to maintain some similar type of level of play. But it really is starting to look like we're seeing two solid lines here. And I'm liking what James Neal is doing on that top line. And Zach Cassian has been rock solid all year long. And McDavid is McDavid, which is, it goes without saying.
Tom Cazzola joins us, pre- and post-game host here on TSN 1260 for all the Oilers games. Be back in action on Thursday when the Oilers are in Montreal. Habs tonight in Detroit. And then on Thursday, that'll be their third game in four nights. Well, the Oilers will be well-rested, having 2 days off. So we'll see if they can take advantage and continue on a very good start to the road trip. Also last night, first time since 1985, all six defensemen get points. It was just kind of one of those rare nights for the Oilers where everybody's chipping in offensively. There's a lot of confidence, I think, for a lot of players right now. I'm getting lots of texts from people that are frustrated with the play of Jujhar Khaira. What are you seeing from 16?
Maybe if I said to you he's got the yep set times, and the one example that I think is pretty obvious comes to mind is the Buffalo game, that first goal where, you know, he comes down to support down low on the wall and it just bounces off his stick and it leads to the Curtis Lazar goal. So I don't know, is there a lack of confidence there with Jujhar Khaira? Is he worried about his spot on the lineup? Possibly. If you're not having a great season, I would be looking over my shoulder as well. I think it's only natural. And the elements of his game that have, you know, tantalized and kind of teased fans and the Oilers management and coaching staffs that have been a part of this organization for the last couple of years, those things of the physicality, some soft hands, smart heads-up plays at times, the ability to penalty kill. It seems like those elements of his game, Gregs, have kind of diminished recently, and he's not really bringing a lot to the table. And you know what? There's been a lot of calls and texts this season on the post-game show in regard to Jujhar Khaira and people wondering why he's in the lineup. And you know, it's funny because he's one of those guys that teases you at times, and the promise of all those elements that he can bring to the table, but it's something that's faltered his game is a lack of consistency. So, it could be we could be coming to the end of the road here with Khaira at the end of the season, and you know, the Oilers being the team to look at him and go, you know what? We've tried. He's been a part of the organization for going on 8 years now, and might be time to move on because what they thought he could bring to the table consistently, quite frankly, Gregs, he hasn't. And I'm rooting for him. I've liked him all along, and I see the upside that he can potentially have. It's just at this level, you have to be so consistent, and that's something he certainly struggled with.
Yeah, you know what's interesting? His PK play is fine. He's actually fifth on the Oilers in 5-on-5 goals, which now maybe we can have an argument over, like Nugent Hopkins obviously has got to get going 5-on-5 right. Goal scoring. But, you know, he, I think what's frustrating about it is he has glimpses and even stretches where you're just like, wow, look at this guy. And then he'll make those plays, kind of like to call them soft plays with the puck in his own zone, where he's just kind of too lackadaisical. And that's what, and I don't know how you get that out of his game. I really don't. I'm sure Dave Tippett and any other coach would, and ultimately it's going to come down to Khaira doing it, because when he plays the right way, I think he's a very effective player. The problem is he'll go long stretches where he's not.
And here's the other thing too is, you know when he really starts to engage is when he gets pissed off. If something kind of gets under his skin on the ice, or you see him playing with sometimes a certain determination, then he's going, you know what I mean? But the key to unlocking that in the years that we've watched him develop over the last few years, I don't know. I don't know what the key to getting Jujhar to play angry is, because he's a pretty easygoing guy, doesn't get too riled up. But when he does, I think that's what really is effective for him. But, I mean, if you can unlock that and tap into it consistently, like you said, Gregs, we've seen those glimpses, but to me, that's the key, is when he just gets engaged and whatever he finds, whatever pisses him off to make him want to go out there and have a positive impact on the game, if you can find a way to unlock that, then I think you've discovered the key to Jujhar Khaira, but nobody has, and I don't even know if Jujhar Khaira has figured out what really gets him going on the ice at times.
Yeah, I'd be hesitant. You know, I think you got to be patient with Jujhar Khaira. And you know what? If the coach got to take him out of the lineup every now and then to get his attention. But, you know, I know some people say send him down to the minors, replace him with Tyler Benson. Well, it's not that easy because, A, Benson's not going to be one of your top four penalty killers.
Right.
I highly doubt that Benson's going to come in and on road games, he's going to get the assignment with Shahan and Archibald to go up against the other team's top lines, which is what happened in Boston and Toronto. right? You had Shahan, not all the time, but him getting time against Bergeron's line. Last night you saw him getting some time against Matthews' line. So, you know, it's not the ideal matchup, but it shows that Dave Tippett's got some confidence to say, hey, it can't always be McDavid and Draisaitl against those guys, so we need someone else who he thinks is reliable in those situations. And I don't know if he would want to put a rookie, because keep in mind, I know Haas and Nygaard don't qualify by the NHL standards as rookies, but they're rookies, right? You can't have that many rookies in your lineup, I don't believe, and be successful as a playoff team.
That's completely fair. So you're right. In regard to pushing Benson into the lineup, I know Yamamoto's play probably makes people more eager to see Benson as well. They look at Yamamoto and they go, well, if he can do it, and Benson's, by all accounts, having a better season offensively than Yamamoto was, then why can't he be put into the lineup when surely he couldn't be any worse than what Jujhar Khaira is providing? But said it about the Euros. Like, there's a big difference between a guy who's played 5 years in the National Hockey League, whether or not he's in and out of the lineup, as opposed to a guy who's just in his second year in hockey, even though he's in the minors.
Yeah, and here's the thing. You look, Yamamoto was named to the All-Star team, right? So it isn't just about points and how they're playing. And we've had Jay Woodcroft on numerous times, and you know, he had said flat out that Yamamoto was their best forward there, hands down. So Benson's game has picked up, though, in the last few weeks. I've talked to some scouts from opposing teams and people in the Oilers organization, and Benson's played really well. And I think you could see him up here before the end of the season. I don't think they're going to rush into it just yet, but obviously Kara's got to play better.
Yeah, and rightly so. And the way, when I bring up that point, it's just to, when you hear those arguments saying, well, like, listen, how could Benson be any worse than Kara? It's like, well, if you want to take a step back and look at the big picture, this is where, Jujhar has a few more advantages over a guy like Benson at this point in time in their careers and what they can do to impact the Oilers lineup positively. That's just the take I'm taking on this one.
Tommy, we'll chat with you tomorrow. Have a good one.
Sounds good, Greg.